in a sea of knowledge and dying of thirst for wisdom. Sound like a man in the ocean. He's made out of salt water and he's drowning. At the same time, he's dying of thirst because he doesn't have a drink of fresh water. We have more information than we've ever had at any time in the history of mankind. And it's all at our fingertips. Some of you, I know, have access to something called the Internet. And you know, as I do, that you can get just about any information you need in a matter of minutes. More than you can use, as a matter of fact, in a matter of minutes on the Internet. When I thought about using that as an example of what I was saying, I thought, well, I'll sit down and try it. I sat down at my desk and I timed myself and turned on the computer, got into the Internet. I thought, now, what do I want information about? My mind went blank. And I thought, well, I'm sitting at a desk, typed in desk. And I found that there were 2,125 sites I could go to and get information about a desk. I don't want anything about a desk. I want to know something about something more important. How about love? Typed in love. There were 4,842 sites I could go to. 4,000, almost 5,000 sites I could go to. How long would it take me? More information than I could possibly digest. Then I decided, I wonder, I'm going to do this in church. I wonder how much information I can find about church. I typed in church. There were 10,785 sites on church. Now, and I did all this within 5 minutes. I say, we are drowning in information. You want information on something? If you don't have access to the Internet, then just go to the nearest bookstore or magazine store and buy a magazine. Kids play computer games, arcade games. Did you know that you can go to a magazine store and buy a magazine that will do nothing more than tell you how to play and beat the video game? I mean, there is a magazine or a journal on just about any subject that you can imagine. I tell you, we're drowning in information. I think I've mentioned before, and you'll probably hear me say it again, if I ever show up missing, find the pile of mail and look in it and you'll find me. I get buried in mail. For example, we have a school here, and somehow the manufacturers of furniture and school equipment have found out we exist. And I believe we're on every mailing list of every furniture manufacturer on the face of the earth and probably a few on Mars and Venus. Right. Now, I've got more information about furniture than I could ever digest or use. What I want to know is the wisdom to know which one to pick. That's the problem. Now, I could go on and on, but I think you would agree with me that we are drowning in information. As a matter of fact, it is so abundant that we now call this the information age. At the end of the last century, it was the industrial age, and now we're entering into the information age. But my point is, we're drowning in information, but we're dying of thirst for wisdom. Let me give you one example. I'm not making this up. I'm not embellishing the details. This is what actually happened recently. There was a school bus on which there were school children. One child on the bus had an asthma attack. A girl on the bus realized what was happening, ran down the aisle, gave her a shot of her asthma medicine, and probably saved her life. The girl who did it got in trouble. Now, what did she get charged with? having a short skirt so when she bent over, she exposed too much? No. Bumping somebody as she ran down the aisle so she got charged with assault and battery? No. This was the charge. She was charged with being a drug dealer. And when the school officials were questioned about that, here was their explanation. We have a no-tolerance drug policy. We have lost all common sense. I mean, what have we come to? We have all this information, and we lack wisdom. So, I would like to speak this morning on one simple point. It is, get wisdom. I feel like saying like the billboard, got wisdom? If you don't, get some. Now, if you leave this service this morning and somebody says to you, what did the preacher preach on? You say two words. The words were, get wisdom. Now, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of things, but the point is I'm going to tell you up front. I usually don't do that. I usually wait till the end, right? I'm telling you up front. The point of this message this morning is get wisdom. You got that?
Yeah.
I want to sort of reinforce that in your brain, all right? I want to underline it. I want to put it in italics. So turn to Proverbs chapter 4. As you know, the subject of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. In the first 9 chapters, Solomon gives several discourses on wisdom. And then beginning in chapter 10, there are these isolated one-line proverbs. But the first 9 chapters are not so. First 9 chapters consist of discourses on wisdom. We're going to take one of those discourses this morning and we're going to look at it. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps shall not be hindered, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they have made someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Wow. What a passage. There's a lot here, and we're going to look at it. But let me simplify it for you. Look at verse 5. Get wisdom. I have a lot to say today. We're going to go through all of these verses. But the point is, get wisdom. I'm going to say that so much, I hope you don't forget it. Now, let me explain to you what's going on here. Solomon is giving a little discourse to his son on wisdom. He starts out, "Hear, my children, the instruction of my father, of a father." Verse 10, "Hear, my son, and receive my saying." So it's a father talking to his children, and specifically to his son. Now you could divide this whole passage into three parts. The first part is Solomon, as a father, is simply exhorting his son to get wisdom. You're learning. All right. Then, that's the first two verses. Then, beginning in verse 3, and going down through verse 9, he gives what I'm going to call an example of wisdom, of how he got it. So I'm going to call the first two verses the father's exhortation, and verses 3 through 9, the father's example. And he tells his son, look, this is what happened to me. Then, in those last verses, verses 10 to 19, he gives an explanation for why you should get wisdom. So what he's saying in this passage, look, son, hear me. Follow my exhortation. Listen to my example. And for reasons I'll give you in a minute, go get wisdom. That's the point of the passage. Now, let's look at it in a little more detail. In those first two verses, he's simply giving an exhortation. He says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." Now, some of you heard me some time ago go through the first three chapters of Proverbs, and you know that the words in these verses are another way of talking about wisdom. He says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father." And that word he's used prior to this in this book, and it refers to discipline, correction, chastening, the whole child training process. And in a sense, that's part of wisdom. In the latter part of verse 1, he talks about understanding. So it's not that you just have information, it's that you understand the information. Actually, the word understanding here has the idea of insight. It's one thing to see, it's another thing to have insight into what's really going on. So what Solomon is saying is, I'm exhorting you, get wisdom. Now, he uses those very words later, but that's the point of verse 1. I want you to get some insight into life. I want you to get some real knowledge and instruction and correction as to what's going on so that you don't make stupid mistakes. I want you to get wisdom. Now, notice one other thing. Verse 2 says, "For I give you good doctrine." Now, that's important. The word doctrine, of course, simply means teaching. I'm teaching you good stuff. What I don't want to do is focus on just that little word good for a second. That little word means beneficial. So Solomon is saying to his son, I am giving you good, beneficial wisdom, and that's what I want you to follow. This is my exhortation, that you take that beneficial stuff I'm giving you and follow it. Hear me. Okay? Now, let me pause here for a second and make a couple of suggestions. Not everything parents say could come under the umbrella of beneficial. You know? So I want to clarify that we're talking about the beneficial stuff. Matter of fact, they once did a survey of children and said, what do you remember most your father saying? And here were the answers they got. The most thing they said is, they heard their father saying was, I'm too tired. The second was, we don't have enough money. And the third was, keep quiet.
And the fourth was...
Now, not everything a father says is wisdom. Not everything a father says is beneficial. So I think we just need to point out that the exhortation is to follow that which is wise from the father. Now, children sometimes chafe under that, you know? why should I do that? And the answer is because while they don't say everything that's right all the time, the good stuff they say, they're telling you because they've been there. You know? Now, for those of us who are adult children, the point is, go find somebody that's been there. You know? And done that. And get some wisdom on what you're doing. A simple illustration. Let's suppose a father lived in Southern California and went to visit his kids who grew up and still lived in, say, New Mexico or Texas. And he had to make the trip and did so several times. And then they decided one day to come see their father. And they'd never been to Southern California. And they had to drive through Phoenix. And the father might say, look, there are two ways to get around Phoenix. Let me make a suggestion. Because of the way, the nature of the trip, if you leave in the morning, you're going to hit Phoenix at traffic time. So how about taking the bypass around Phoenix, and it'll save you some time rather than going through Phoenix. Now, my son, hear me. You can get all kinds of information about how to get to California, but what you need is a little wisdom. I've been there. Take the bypass. Make sense? All right, that's what Solomon is saying to his son. Been there, done that. Get wisdom. So I think the principle for us, for all of us, is when you start to do something, go get some wisdom. You know? We used to live like that as a society. If you were going to go into a certain occupation or develop a craft, you would have to become an apprentice first. You still do, a lot of the trades. And frankly, if you were going to be an entrepreneur, which means you're going to go do your own thing, one of the finest things I could tell you to do is go study what other entrepreneurs have done. I think whole magazines are dedicated to that. There's a lot of information. You just need to get some wisdom from somebody that's been there, that's done that, so that you don't make unnecessary mistakes. So the exhortation is, go get wisdom. All right, now, the next thing he does in this passage is he gives an example. Look at verse 3. He says, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said. This is very interesting. Solomon is talking to his children. And he says, now look, I'm exhorting you, get wisdom. But let me tell you, I was once a child. And he turns now and says, let me give you an example of what happened to me. My father told me. And this is what he said. He says, when I was tender. We still use that expression, don't we? Young and tender. And the idea is, I was moldable. I was impressionable. Wasn't hard to not hearing yet. And when I was at that young and tender age. By the way, there's another little observation here. We don't have time to go into this. I was really fascinated by it. And the only one in the sight of my mother. Well, if you know anything at all about the history of Solomon, you know he was not an only child. But he says this like, I was the only one. And I think the point of that is, at this tender age, they loved him. And he felt like he was the only one in the sight of his mother. Isn't that a cute little expression? I was the only one. They were giving me their best. And here's what they said. Look at it. He taught me and said to me, verse 4, let your heart attain to my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Now, son, I'm telling you, I'm exhorting you to get wisdom because my father told me, get wisdom. Now that's what's happening in the passage. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Now let me tell you what's going on. This is really cute. He's using, actually, two analogies, two illustrations, if you will, of what you should do. In verse 5, he says, get wisdom. And he's referring to wisdom like it's a commodity. Go buy it. I mean, that's sort of the point. Go get it. Like you could go to the store and take it off the shelf. No, go get it. Now, that's what David, Solomon's father, taught him. Go buy this stuff. Years later, here's what Solomon said. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. He got the point. Proverbs chapter 23. And look at verse 23. You've heard of 2020 vision? This is 2023 vision. All right, here it is. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Proverbs 23:23. Go buy truth like a commodity. Go buy wisdom, and when you get it, don't sell it. All right, so that's one of the images he uses. By the way, have you ever bought anything you wouldn't sell? There are things you bought, not somebody gave you, but you went and got, you bought, that you wouldn't sell? Yeah, I do too. I have a lot of books, because there are books about the Scripture, and at one point in my life, I had 3,000 of these things. I had more books than I don't know what to do with. So I decided one day I was going to have to move, and I wasn't going to move all these things, so I decided to sell them. I think I sold 2,000 of them. And I looked at, you know, I still got about 1,000. And as I looked at these books, I thought, you know what? I ain't selling that one. You know, that one? I ain't selling that one. Well, that's what he's saying. Go get wisdom and don't sell it. Now, that's one illustration. Another thing his father told him, I love this. This is really cute. Look back in Proverbs chapter 4. He says, verse 6, do not forsake her, and she will preserve your life. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. Do you see what he's doing? He is personifying wisdom as a woman. Now, this is not new. If you will recall, he did this back in chapter 1. So I want you to think of wisdom as a woman. Now, what I think is so cute about this, what I think is so clever is, here's a father talking to his son. And what's the boy interested in? Girls. And so he says, you see that cute little thing over there? That's wisdom. Go marry her and don't divorce her. So wisdom is a commodity. Don't sell it. Wisdom is a woman. Marry her and don't divorce her. That's the point. Get wisdom and don't turn her loose. So, Solomon is saying, my father taught me this. Now, what I think is so important about that is, therefore, I'm telling you something I did. I've been there, which is sort of the point. That's where you get wisdom. But there's another thing in here that I think is critical, and that is this. You know, son, this is bigger than me. This is bigger than my generation. This is generational stuff. There's a wisdom that's going to be out of date next week. There's a, quote, wisdom that's going to be out of touch next month. And there's a wisdom that goes beyond a few years and passes into the generations. When you go get wisdom, get the good stuff. The timeless stuff. Get the wisdom that lasts. A few weeks ago, I did something I'd never done before in my entire ministry. I preached on the newspaper. Do you remember that? A couple of people aren't going to let me live that down. He didn't preach the Bible that Sunday. He preached the newspaper. But the point I was making was this. If you want the latest, get the paper. If you want the lasting, get the Bible. You know what? This thing has stood the test of time. What I'm reading to you was written about 3,000 years ago. Now, if it could last that long, and it's still the number one bestseller, you think that might be worthy of some consideration? You know? Make sense? The point is, son, get wisdom. That's what I did. That's my example. I did this. And so have thousands of others before me. Millions of others even today are getting wisdom. So it isn't information you need. It's wisdom that you need. So go get wisdom. Now I think the question would be, why do I need all this wisdom? Why? What's the purpose? Well, actually, in the paragraph or portion of thereof that we just looked at, there are a whole bunch of reasons that are given. For example, if you will just look at chapter 4 and look at verse 8, she will exalt you, or promote you, I should say, and bring honor when you embrace her. And all these things have been mentioned before, by the way. In chapter 3, as a matter of fact, he talked in verse 4 about favor and high esteem. That's promotion and honor. In verse 9, it says he will place an ornament of grace on your head. And that was mentioned in chapter 3, verse 22. And there will be grace on your neck. And there will be a crown of glory on your head. And that was mentioned in chapter 3. As a matter of fact, in verse 35, it says the wise will inherit glory. And as I pointed out when we looked at that passage, some feel, and I agree, that this is talking about some eternal reward. So that he's already in the past, in some of the discourses he's given to his son, mentioned some of the benefits of wisdom. Get wisdom, and I'm exhorting you to do that. I've done that. The generation before me told me to do that. There's great benefit to doing it. But having said all of that, when he gets to verse 10, he gives what I'm going to call the real explanation. And he does so by giving a contrast. He gives a contrast between what is called the way of wisdom and the way of wickedness. Look at verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my saying, and the years of your life will be many. There's another benefit. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. Now, verses 10 through 13 are talking about what he calls the way of wisdom. And he's saying, look, walk in this, run in this, take firm hold on it. Do it. So don't just learn wisdom. Get it. Got it? Okay? Go run that way. Go walk that way. Go live that way. And he mentions some more benefits. Years will be added to you. Verse 10. You will not stumble. Verse 12. She is your life. Verse 13. This is life. Now, in contrast to that, look at verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, and do not travel it. Turn away and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil, and they do not sleep unless they've taken and hurt someone else, made someone else fall. Now, you could call these couple of verses the way of the wicked. So he's contrasting the way of wisdom and the way of the wicked. And he's saying, look, the way of the wisdom is going to lead to life. Did you see that? You're not going to stumble. She's life to you. Isn't that true? If you follow a wise path, don't you end up living better and longer? Do I need to prove that? You know? I saw somebody yesterday who looked much older than he is. And in the course of the conversation, the comment was made, it's the way we're living. You know? You ever heard the expression, hard living's hard on you, right? You know? Well, the way of wisdom is life. Now, in contrast to that, the way of wickedness. Look at verse 14. Don't enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Don't travel. Turn away from it. Pass on. Don't go down that way. Some energy in these verses. Then he says, look, they don't sleep unless they've done evil. And he's talking about their companions. Don't go down this way with other people. If there are people that you're associating with and all they want to do is evil, and all they don't go to sleep unless they've done some evil. Don't hang around those people. That's what he's saying. You know? And this is what he says. Way of wickedness, and you're going to hurt somebody. Is that a true statement? When you go do wickedness, it doesn't just hurt you. You make somebody else fall. Look at the next verse. And they drink the wine of violence. Boy, wouldn't that be a great title as a commentary on our day? You know? And we thought it was drive-by shootings in South Central. Now it's in little bitty towns in the South. Arkansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, and now Oregon. And it's not the derelicts, it's the kids. What are we coming to? Other people are getting hurt. Innocent people are getting hurt. He says, look, don't take the way of the wicked. That's death. That's violence. Go down the way of wisdom. Point I'm making this morning is get wisdom. What's the explanation? Because that's the path of life. And the way of wickedness is the path of death. Now, he concludes this section with a contrast. He says in verse 18, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter in the perfect day. What does that mean? Well, as you'll see in the next verse, he talks about darkness. And so he's saying, look, let me give you an illustration. If you go down the, if you go take the way of wisdom, that's like walking in a perfect day. And this is a reference to the fact that there are no clouds in the sky. It's noon and the sun is high. And you can see where you're walking. That's a perfect day. In contrast to verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness, and they don't know what makes them stumble. Did you ever get up in the middle of the night without a nightlight and go walking through the house and you couldn't see where you were going and you stumbled over something? So Solomon says, look, it's like day and night. It's life and death. You take the way of wisdom, it's life. You can see where you're going. You don't stumble. You don't get hurt. Nobody else gets hurt. You go the way of the wicked, you're going to stumble over something, hurt you, and there's going to be violence, and somebody else is going to get hurt. That's the explanation. So I'm going to repeat it one more time. The point of this passage is?
Get wisdom.
You got it. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. That's my exhortation to you. That's the example I give you. And my explanation is, you are better off. So is everybody else around you. Now, I started out saying we're drowning in knowledge. We're dying of thirst of lack of wisdom. Now, let me just tell you something. Where do you get this wisdom? Well, I've suggested you get it from people who've been there. But in the context of the book of Proverbs, this really comes from godly people that know the Lord. Matter of fact, in chapter 9, look at one more verse. In chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Chapter 9, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You want to know where to get this? It starts with the
fear of the
fear of the Lord. Now, if you recall, that's an expression we looked at way back in chapter 1, and that doesn't mean you're terrified of God. As a matter of fact, it means a reverential trust of the Lord. You want to know where to start with wisdom? We talk about the wisdom of this generation, the wisdom of the past generation, the wisdom of the ages. How about the wisdom of eternal Father? I mean, let's really get to good stuff. You know? I mean, if there's a God and He made all of this, then you'd think He might know a little more than we do? Think maybe, huh? So then how about let's getting His wisdom? That's where you start. And He gives it to us in the His Word. His Word. But you got to know Him first. If you don't know the author, the book isn't going to make a whole lot of sense to you. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to be raised from the dead for us, so that if we simply trust in Him, we establish a relationship with Him, we're forgiven, we're given eternal life, and that's the beginning of wisdom. You know, New Testament, if I had time I'd show you that in the New Testament, says that all over the place. The gospel is the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians. All right, now, then you need to know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, talk to me. You need to know the Lord. You need to know for sure you're going to heaven. If you don't have that settled, talk to one of us. We can show you how to get that settled in about 10 minutes. That's no big deal. It's a gift. All we have to show you is how to get it. All right? It's real simple. Doesn't cost you anything. You just have to trust in Jesus Christ, period. End of report. Then God's wisdom, at the beginning, the fear of the Lord, trust, there's reverential trust of the Lord. And then you just need to get in the book. Now, that's the problem. Did you know there's study Bibles out there? I was the contributor to one of the biggest ones. I was told by the publisher, there are now 70 study Bibles. You know? Do we need more information? You can buy one book and it's all got it in the footnotes. Explain everything to you. Problem is, not everything in all those footnotes can be right because they contradict each other. So you got to have wisdom. You know where that comes from? Saying, "Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." It goes right back to the Lord.
Amen.
It's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Well, the point of this message is, you know what the problem is? We're going to sing a hymn and walk out. It's a beautiful day out there. You're going to wake up in the morning, got all kinds of things flying in the face for the next week. You're going to straightway forget all this. The reason I wanted you to repeat it so much is next week, I hope, every time you turn around, you hear this little preacher saying,
Yeah, wisdom.
All right? Why is that so important? Why make such a big deal out of this? I'm going to tell you why. Please hear me. Please hear me. This isn't just a matter of me giving you some more information. This is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of day and night. That's what He said. It's your neck, not mine. You understand? This is, you need to feel as strongly about this as I do. You need wisdom. I find myself all the time saying, "Lord, give me wisdom. What do you say about this situation?" That's what I want. The attitude and the desire and the hunger from your heart that says, "Lord, I want wisdom. Give me wisdom. Where in your word do you tell me what to do in this mess? Give me wisdom. You see, if you understood the situation as it really is, the cry of your heart would be, get wisdom. So here's the situation. Did you see the Titanic? I didn't either. But I understand. A lot of people were drowning. Now, if you were in an ocean of water drowning and a little log floated by, do you think you would nonchalantly reach out and grab that puppy? Or do you think you would panically grab it and hold on? Which? You'd go buy it and never sell it. You'd marry it and never divorce her. You would hang on for dear life. Well, when you understand that we are drowning in a sea of knowledge, and we're dying of thirst for wisdom, you'll grab wisdom and you'll hang on like your very life depends on it, because, my friend, it does. So the point is, you got it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this portion of your word that gives us such vital instruction. Lord, I pray that somehow the Spirit of God would indelibly write this on our hearts, so that not just today, but tomorrow, the next day, when we face the decisions we have to make in life, that we will remember you, remember your wisdom, and go get it. Lord, teach us to be that kind of a people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.